What's going on? It's Mario, FA Podcast. Wherever you can find your podcasts, we're up and running. There's tons of episodes you can go check out. You can check them up on YouTube as well. Subscribe to that, to the channel. You can hit us up on all the social channels. We got lots going on. This episode is turkey time for sure. This will be some last strut conversations. This is not a dead mount, although like Cody's saying, this would be just an absolute sick dead mount. These are actually all turkeys from today in the opener up in Washington. We try to do every year. I try to come over and hunt with the turkey killers, Cody and Kyle. That's a big intro. So Cody Reeves, I've known Cody since he was 9. And his dad, and then Kyle is new to the group, just because he lives up here with Cody and by Cody and all that other stuff. So these two guys are pretty dialed in on turkeys for sure. So, and we're going to talk about that and how dialed in, because listen, I don't have any turkeys near me. Like, I don't have any turkeys at the club, on the property. We got zero. So if I had them, I would be able to do the stuff that you guys are doing. You know what I mean? But I can't. So let's talk about that a minute. Before we go, big shout outs to Weatherby, Federal Ammunition, Rogers Sporting Goods, Loophole, Sass Goose Company with Tyler and the gang up in Saskatchewan. So those guys help all this keep going and partner up with us. So I'll start with you, Cody, because it's, you know, you got log books, you got trail cameras. I mean, obviously you have tons of property to access, plus your own. So there's a lot to manage, but how do you keep it organized? Because all the stuff we're going to talk about, and Kyle will talk about his property and all his stuff, all the stuff that goes into this leads us to this and being able to be at the right place at the right time and take all the X's out, right?
Yeah. So like for me, it's just like a revolving door. Goose season ends, you put all the stuff away. And then we start, as soon as the snow, like we get a warm day, right. Kyle and I will be like, dude, it feels like Longbeard weather. And so, I'm not saying I have a lot of ground. Like I have a lot of places that are, you know, like small properties. I would say like the biggest property is like 160 acres and my smallest one is like 7.
Right.
Like we were hunting today.
Right.
You know, and it's basically, I hunt a lot of these newer properties late in the year by myself before work. And I'm like, I gotta try this. So it's basically me figuring out how to hunt them.
Right.
And Kyle can vouch, I talk to him like every day, like, hey, I hunted, like they went this way. So tomorrow I'm gonna set up over here.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I'll go no decoys, no calling, like just.
Trial and error.
Yeah, spend a lot of time.
Well, sure, it's time.
That's why, like, today it was pretty special for me, because it's like I've spent a lot of time down there and
right.
Got my butt kicked so many times.
Right. Yeah, I've been there with you. So we watched them just blow us by and, you know, head out, you know, on the way to the roost. And it was afternoon, and we got zipped.
Yeah, and what I started doing is I keep a waterfowl log. I've kept a waterfowl log for, like, 12, 14 years.
Yeah.
And I had a vehicle stolen and my logbook was in there, so I had to start over 4 years ago.
Oh, crap.
And I was like, you know what? I do this with waterfowl. I need to do these with turkeys because every year is different.
For sure.
Like this year, it was like today was beautiful. 70, light wind, like perfect weather.
Yeah.
And we've hunted it where it's 95. On
yeah.
The opener, we've also hunted it with 5 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So,
and obviously they're going to react different because
yeah, so,
the whole, I mean, the weather you can't control, but like you're saying, in your log, this is what's going on, this what happened, this what happened at this property, this was what was going on with the weather. Yeah. And
I'll also talk about when I put cameras out, right, when I put food plots in, where, right, I put them in, what worked, what didn't work.
Sure.
So like, we'll be hunting some frost-seeded ones.
Yeah.
That this is the first year I was able to even do it.
Right.
And I made like food plots bigger or made them smaller, stuff like that.
Yeah, so working on that. So now on Kyle's, we'll talk to Kyle because we'll just switch because then I want to, because I've hunted your place for I don't know how many years, and it's changed so much with you like logging some of it out pretty much, and then storms and everything, and just trying to maintain it, manage it, and then like you said, pattern it. Like, you know, we're at your place and you're like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. Obviously Cody does, but you know, you're like, oh, they're right on the road, or they're right at the intersection on this corner. Like you know exactly where they are, because you know, like that's home turf.
Yeah.
Right.
That's just time spent. You know, and the more you hunt out there, like today we got a good experience of getting a grasp of what we were talking about.
Right.
We got to do a little run and gun, you know, after the initial set. And then so over time, just learning, you know, like you hear them, they sound 100 yards away, but really they're only 50 yards because of how thick that timber is.
Yeah, I mean the thick timber, or you know, like they're in a gully, they're in a canyon, they're somewhere else. They sound louder. They sound.
Could be behind a brush
pile. Yeah, he was talking about, well, there's water down this one spot. It could be bouncing off the water, like you know, because you guys this year have a lot of water, which is totally different. So that's a different thing for this year too. So there's a lot going on.
Like my ground is really deceptive. You know, you'd think it would be just flat ground, but it's got a lot of rolling hills. So when they get down on those hills, it's like, oh man, they're going away.
Plus it's thick.
But they're 50 yards from you.
For sure.
And you know, I've learned this the hard way, you know, you overcall those and
for sure
50 yards from you and you're
hammering,
thinking they're going away. And then all of a sudden they pop up here and they're like.
Well, there's no doubt. Like I've, you know, like, okay, so we could be at a wide open spot, you know, at Cody's, say one of those properties, and we're like, oh yeah, those are way out there, but they're coming. And then at your place, you know, it's so weird because like the first time I'm there, and even still like today, I'm just like, I hear them and I'm like, oh, those are far.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, and he's like, they'll be here in 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay. So it's so, and that, like you said, it's time, it's knowing the place, and it's doing the right stuff. And I think both you guys have done like the right stuff. Obviously I manage the waterfowl properties and the stuff at my house. Like there's always something to do.
Yes.
There's always a project. So you got to pick, okay, what am I doing this year? Right. So I'm going, what's the most important this year to get done? It's this, this, and this, in this order. And I'll try to knock out whatever I can. So you guys are doing the same thing,
yeah,
right?
A lot of that with me, too, is like a multi-attack, right? So it's like, here's what can benefit me, you know, in my future plans of building a house, my DNR, cost share program,
right,
plus what I want to keep
for the
habitat.
For sure.
For these deer, turkeys.
Right.
And, you know, future moving into that field,
right,
waterfowl side,
right.
So there's a lot more than just cutting a tree,
for sure.
And have a plan. Yes. Like it's like when I bought this place, I could see the potential. It was like, it was so thick, it had never been hunted, the neighbors never hunted.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, you know what, like I could turn X amount of acres into double with just a little bit of work. And it was like, I would be hunting other properties and there would be, you would run into, be like, man, they are always in like a little green section.
And for sure.
Like, or old log road.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can make this four-wheeler road into like a kill plot where,
yeah,
it's like, if they step in there, I can shoot them.
Right.
Now it's morphed into like the last 6 years where like I have a little bit more equipment, like I have a tractor sitting right there.
Yeah.
It's like I can cut that tree, get that stump, make that kill plot
even, you know, bigger
40
or
yards
better
instead of 20 yards.
Right.
and then I can put a blind on both sides so I can hunt the sun morning and evening. Like, so then you start thinking about all the times you were successful or you're at other properties. Because I learn just as much hunting Kyle's place as, you know, like we hunt my place, even though I live here.
Yeah.
I learn something every time we go where it's like, I'm definitely not doing that. And it goes back to, I hunted the first couple years, I hunted here by myself.
Right.
It was like, I had to figure out the bugs for sure.
Well, and here, you know, and I've seen this place grow, right? So here, I think maybe there was always turkeys here in a good amount, right? But you clearing out everything, clearing some roads, putting some plots in, putting some food in, clearing a lot of the thick brush, I think they're more comfortable coming through here than maybe just beating their way through up the ridge and roosting and then coming back down. You know what I mean? Like, I think the habitat is way better, but it's all the work. You know, same thing at Kyle's. Like, there's like you got trees down and you got all this other stuff cleared. So now they have lanes that they can move around in and come through. And also that goes back to, okay, well, here's the blind, there's the alleyway. I want to call them out of the timber. They're going to come this way. Like, this is what should happen, right? Like, you were trying to do that as well. Like, you know, so I think you guys are doing all the right stuff. And I think, you know, maybe we talk about this, like, what's maybe the key things that you've done on your place that maybe somebody could do on their place?
I think the big thing is, like,
or a place that they have leased or whatever.
I would just say, like, make it, just pretend that you're taking kids or an older person. It's like, how can I make it more accessible for them? How could I have someone who's never really hunted, but I want them to have a great experience, but
right.
I also want them to be comfortable. So it's like,
right.
You start going through all these extra things, like my dad had both his knees replaced, and when I first bought this place, he couldn't really get going. So I'm like, I need something flat.
So you can get him in and
close,
around. Right.
And something easy to get into. And then after I started hunting that way, I was like, well, I'm more successful sitting here comfortable.
Why not?
And I also learned the hard way of, like, having small properties, it's like they're gonna cross there at some point. So I just need to stick, like, I need to just be focused on this.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing for me is I take a lot of kids.
For sure, both of you guys do.
So that's what I thought.
Go ahead, Kyle, what about you?
I think for me it's like selective shooting. So like with me, I've had the opportunity of like being able to see the whole picture of like how many birds I have in the area and how many of those birds are hens, how many of those birds are first year jakes, second year jakes,
right,
gobblers,
right.
And, you know, that's a lot of like bouncing off my friends, you know, like,
right, what's in the area,
like,
right,
hey man, like last year we killed three out of there, this year I got 15 jakes, like,
right.
And I got 10 gobblers that,
yeah,
that's too many.
Right.
You know,
so you're managing it, right, for that.
When I first started hunting there, there wasn't that many gobblers. Like there was turkeys in there.
Right.
But if you went in there and shot, you know, 7 longbeards like we did one year, it right. would just.
That would have been done.
It would have ruined it for years to come.
Right.
So knowing your limit on
what's there and what's around.
You know, you could shoot 10 a day or you could only shoot one a day.
For sure.
I'm no biologist by any means, but, you know.
Yeah, but you know your area.
You can kind of see the patterns over years. Of. Like,
for sure.
I shot 5 this year, 3 this year. Here's what happened the next year. I got 7 jigs out of it when
right.
I shot 7.
Right.
And, you know, I shot 3 last year. I got 15 jakes this year.
Right. Like, look at what's going on. And then talking to the neighbors and finding out, like, say, like you say, oh, I'm hunting the piece that's 7 acres, right?
Right.
Well, obviously, they're not all staying on the 7 acres all the time. So they're coming from everywhere else. So knowing what's on the neighbors, talking to them, seeing what they're doing. Are they helping, or can you help them get the place better? You know what I mean? Because then that benefits everybody around, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're bird nerds, you know, like
right.
Same thing with people doing the deer thing.
For sure.
We just, you know, we're just different. What gets us going, our birds. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care. I hunt deer and whatever, but it's like, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about this stuff. And it's, if, like, I think the most we've ever shot here is like 4 or 5, but there was also like, I think my wife said they're like fleas at sometimes.
Right.
And we've had a couple mild winters, and we're going to have good broods.
Right.
Like,
right.
Coming up. And so I haven't noticed like a difference of, oh, we shot 5 and then we don't have very many. I think they just are like, depending on the weather and the year.
It's just in a cycle.
They just, like, they weren't here. I had no turkeys here until 2 weeks ago. And I always have turkeys here in the spring. And I was like freaking out. And
right.
Then it's like, you look at the log, it's like, okay, 3 years ago we had a spring like this. Like, they're just hanging out at a different spot for longer because they can.
Right, and then they move over to here.
And it's like you get the first 65 degree day, boom.
They're here.
And they're gobbling at the fence line. You're like, okay, all is right in the world. Like, it's just kind of crazy how it, no matter what, like, usually I'm 2 weeks early ahead of Kyle's place.
Right.
He was like 3 weeks ahead of me.
Right, right.
This year. And then same thing down where we hunted this evening.
Right.
It was like, I didn't have any turkeys, and it's like 65 degree day, boom, they showed up.
Yeah.
That has a lot to do with the weather, too. You know, like, you know, his weather could have been 5 degrees difference from mine. Like,
right.
You were saying.
Right.
It could have just drastically changed everything. You know, I was 5 degrees warmer for 2 weeks straight.
Right.
Versus him.
And then they just got moving on your place quicker, and
yeah.
Everybody's out.
There's just a lot of factors into, you know, you only learn it over the years of just, and, you know, like,
just doing it and everything.
You know, I've only been keeping a log for a few years now since I really had that place, but it really helps you to look back and be like, okay, yeah, I shot this many this year, and
yeah,
it was 0 degrees for 3 weeks straight. So,
well, yeah, and you could look at some stuff like that. The other thing that neither one of you guys would know about is, okay, so you didn't shoot as many, or you shot 5, you shot 10, you shot 2, whatever you shot. And then if the winter wasn't bad, and then the next year, like, boy, there's not a lot of turkeys. Is it coyotes, bobcats,
yeah,
crows, ravens, nest thieves? Like, what is it? Because that, I mean, that you'll never know unless you have, you know, unless you have a freaking camera on the nest. Like, how are you going to know that?
And that's a big part of it with, like, with my place. So I'm right next to a cattle farmer, and they have an abundance of coyotes. Like, it's just,
yeah,
it's a problem.
Yeah.
And I can't take credit for getting this guy that comes out almost on a weekly basis and thermal scopes these coyotes. And
that's going to help.
Yeah. And I mean, he's helped the turkey population.
For sure.
More than anything that I've done or anybody that's been to my property's done, you know, just taking one coyote out.
Yeah, but it's everything. It's skunks. It's,
yeah,
you know, and it's, I'm not saying like kill everything, obviously. I'm not going that route unless it's the crows. Then maybe you can kill as many as you want and just keep going within your boundaries and seasons and whatnot. But yeah, you can pound them.
At the end of the day, for me, it's what you put into something is what you get out of it. So
for sure.
Something halfway, you're,
yeah,
going to get halfway
more. Well, sure.
So like, and that could be a cliche for people, but like, if you've seriously like implemented that into something that you're extremely passionate about, whether it be a sport or,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the results are just from, you know,
hard work.
Sweat on your brow.
There's no doubt. Basically. There's no doubt.
You know.
None of that stuff, you know. The you know, listen, it's the same at the Duck Club and those places, and you guys know, it's like everybody comes out during the season, you know, you take them and it's like they sit down in the nice chair, you know, they're under a roof, they're, you know, it's pouring rain and the, you know, you got the heater going or something for them, and they're just like, man, this is awesome. And it's like, well, guess what? Like this shit doesn't just appear, right? Like, you know how much work I had to do to get this ready so that you could come in and sit down and enjoy it? And I'm not, I love doing it. Like, that's the whole part of it. Like, it's all year, but there's so much, you know, like spring right now, I'm fighting the beavers. The beavers and the nutria are just tearing the place up. So it is a constant battle. So that's a rough deal for me. So spring's always rough. And then summer, it's drain it, plant it, work it, get it ready, irrigate, and off we're running again. And it's like this whole cycle, like it never ends.
Yeah, that's what's worth it to me though, is like when you can take your friends and,
sure.
and they're like, man, this is so
yeah.
cool.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't matter at that point how much work you put in.
No, it's all worth it.
Yeah. It's just watching something, like that's what's cool about turkey hunting. That's what I like about it, is it's usually one person and there's like three or four people for one common goal for that person.
Yeah.
And it's, their success is your success.
Well, yeah.
Every vital, like, you know, the shooter shoots it, you know, we're calling, Adam's filming, like we all have our job, we all executed our job, and it's like,
and there we go.
We have a game plan, it's like, okay, that was awesome. High fives.
Yeah.
Let's go, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
And it's like all the, that's what I like.
Yeah. My favorite hunts of the year are, and oftentimes when we only shoot one goose or one duck.
Sure.
But my friends are going out there doing
for sure
hunts that I want to do, or you know, yeah. they're out there for me doing things that I like to do.
Yeah,
and yeah, they're doing it just to hang out with you.
And they're just like,
yeah,
they're just having the best time, and it just, it makes me, it makes my day. You
know? Yeah, like, no doubt.
I look forward to every year.
Yeah, I mean I mean coming out of waterfowl season, like it was a rough year, like for us. Like, we traveled everywhere. It was rough everywhere, just because it was just that kind of year. And everybody's like, "How was your year?" And I was like, "It was rough." And I said, "But I had some of the best hunts at the end, because, you know, my son got like three of his buddies at high school, and they're all like, all of a sudden Cole's like, "Hey, do you guys wanna go duck hunting?" And his one buddy Nathan's like, "All about it." And then we take Nathan, and then there's two other kids that. He's like, "Nathan's never shot a wood duck. All right, let's go on the river." And Nathan shoots his first wood duck, right? No kidding. Like, first bird of the morning, right, lands right on the water. And I'm just like, I'm like, man, get it. And it was just, it was a drake. It was great, right? So that was like money. So then it's like, okay, so we got Nathan taken care of. Then he's got two other buddies, Trevor and Jacob. And neither of them ever shot their first duck. So we take Trevor. Trevor shoots his first duck. Then Jacob shoots his first duck. Then they shoot some other duck that they wanted to see. And then they're like, they're all jacked. And then Cole shoots his first gadwall. And it's like that was like my last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, so that was like, I can't put money on that. Like, that was, you know, yeah, that was it right there.
Ours is good. Like, you know, I use the analogy, we were the windshield more than the bug.
For sure.
You know? But like, some of the best hunts that I had was like, I could think of like our first hunt of the year, Kyle and I, watching Deeds get his first tree.
Right. Like, right.
Watching him evolve. I don't even have to shoot him anymore. It's just like, hey, will you shoot that duck just so I can watch him?
Just so you get the dog working. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another, I mean, listen, that's a whole other thing of time. That's a whole other thing of time and sweat in, right? Sweat equity. Because, you know, listen, I can, you know, I'm on my personal third dog. We had a couple when I was growing up. So this is my third dog. This is the second one I've kind of had a lot of training into, like, myself. So I'm getting better. So the dog's doing, but yeah, that's a lot of time. So when he burns that, you know, 300, 400 yard, you know, sailor or mark or, you know, blind or whatever, like, and everybody's like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, listen, that doesn't happen overnight. Like, that's, you know, many, that's like every day. And I know I say that and I sound like, you know, I sound like a broken record when I'm saying like, no, it's every day, but guess what? It's every day.
Yeah, it is.
Just like anything, you want results, you got to put the time in. So
yeah.
This waterfowl, you know, whatever it is, like, you know, whether it's deer hunting or whatever, you want to do or just making the property better. Like, it's time for sure. And you got to have a plan.
Yeah, the big thing is, like, I always think it's not going to make it worse.
No. It's going to make it better.
Like, my kill plot that we'll hunt in the next couple days or whatever, it'll be, like, that was just a sagebrush flat.
Oh, I remember.
And we saw turkeys strutting in sagebrush flats today.
Yeah.
And it's like, mine's the same thing, except now they have a hidey-ho to actually, like,
yeah,
strut instead, yeah, of use it as, like, a transition area.
Yeah, you clear it out. It's in the sun at a certain point in the day. It's pretty warm.
It's not going to make it worse.
No.
It's better than, say, you know, head high sage.
But you just can't, you know, like your place. Like, you just can't go in and just start yarding trees out. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're trying to thin the place out. You're trying to do stuff. But you can't ruin the place.
Yeah. If you want 80 it, I mean, they're just going to leave. They're there for a reason.
For sure.
You just got to figure out
what to keep. Right.
And make it better for them.
Right. And like you said, on a transition piece, right? So on a transition piece, like, okay, they're coming through. Are they stopping? If they're stopping, because it's only 7 acres, right? Or whatever, 10 acres, whatever it is. If they're stopping, why are they stopping? Or if they're not stopping, how do I get them to stop so I can, you know, coax them in? Do I need a food plot? Do I need, you know, what do I do? So that, I mean, that... Yeah. That goes into play as well.
Whether it's like they're roosting and they're like,
right,
going across and you have to figure out how to cut them off.
Like, right.
Why are they roosting there? Well, it could be out of the wind. It could be the biggest roost trees. It could be,
for sure,
access to get into the roost tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, for us, they like getting on like a bench.
Right. And then hopping in.
Hopping in. Some, you know, other people, you know, they
fly
right in there, which, you know, I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Except for like on TV and stuff. Ours is like, you know, they get on a bench
and hop over.
It's like scab rock with, you know, trees and they're jumping in.
Right.
And then they kind of hop in there.
Mine use a flat runway as much as they can.
And
they'll go 100 yards up into a roost.
Yeah. I mean, they got, you know, they know what they're doing. Like, the ones that I see that are pretty, like, blow me away is, like, you know, they're on the back shelf in some tree, and you're like, what in the hell are they doing there? And it's like, well, guess what? The wind doesn't blow through that slot. And guess what? It's chilly at night, you know, when we're still starting, and they're out of the wind. No kidding. So, you know, they're not stupid. They made it all the way through winter, right? And everything else, so that they know what they need to do. So, yeah, listen, you learn something every day. I didn't think, like today, I didn't think at any point in my time I would be walking through the brush at 8 a.m. and a turkey would pitch out of the tree and scare the living shit out of me, right? What was he... And I don't even know what it was. I don't know if it was a Jake, a hen. I couldn't even see. It just, I heard it. I know what it sounds like. I saw this, like, just the dark silhouette go through, because it was thick in there. Yeah. But I was like, what the?
So,
like, do we just blow it, or what the hell just happened? No. So, but yeah.
Like, for me, like, knowing where he was in that tree, what I assume had happened is we had just shot up, you know, what we did.
That group, right.
And some of them took off running. You know, we went out to pick those up, and I think
somebody pitched
a couple
it.
Of them took off right there and went right up into those trees.
You want to be on the podcast, Bubba?
Yeah.
Make your debut?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get upset when you wake up early with camo and...
And he ain't going.
Yeah.
Well,
only,
sure.
That's the only thing I don't like.
About turkeys, for sure. Yeah, unfortunately, the dogs don't go.
You know, we had something happen today that was... Like, I wasn't expecting. I kept telling you guys, like, we're hunting a unique place, and to have turkeys literally fly across.
That was bananas.
I would say fly across.
Here, Deets.
A gully.
He's
over
checking
water.
At him. Here, Bubba.
Heel.
Come on.
Come here.
Nah, that's
have a boy. Fly over water.
Oh, it was insane.
Get to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was
pretty special.
Well, just to be like,
oh, there's,
oh, there they are. They're, oh, they're coming over, and it's like, what? And then you see them, it's like,
yeah, everybody was like, it's like, you know, okay, so like four or five gobbles, like, I'm like, okay, are they in this gully? Are they coming up this thing? And they're like, and then here they come. And I'm like, look, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, no, no, they're flying. They're flying over from the canyon. And I'm like, what? And I look, and I just see like, and I just see this. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, if they fly all the way here into the decoys, I don't know if I'm not gonna shoot. Like, I might shoot them. I might, hey, have you shot a cupped up turkey in the decoys? I don't know, but I'm thinking about it, right? That's the first thing that went through my head. I'm like, they better hit the ground first because I might shoot.
As soon as we're like, I thought they were gonna come out, I'm thinking like, I might have said it out loud, but I was like, well, Adam's got a tripod, so he'll be able to see it before us.
And right.
We're just kind of, hey, they're gonna be over here, we're gonna be over here, and Adam just goes, oh, I see him. There's three, and he's like giving us commentary. And I mean, his, you know, camera's right here.
It's and crazy.
I can't see anything, and you guys are like, yeah, they're at like 50 yards, and they're like right behind the wall.
Well, you were hid like Kyle was hid today, like when that one hen came in by herself. She came right at us. Like, she came from across the field, right out of the tree line, and I mean right at us. And she was like going slow for a minute, and then she just started trucking. And everybody's like, here she comes. And Kyle's like, what are you talking about? And he peeked around the tree. He's like, oh, she's right there. So yeah, there's, oh, she was right there. So yeah, we, a lot of firsts today. Like I said, I mean, you know, see them fly down, see them glide over a freaking canyon, over the road, and come over, like, that was pretty far. So there was a lot going on today. That's pretty good start for the turkey season for me to, you know, before I start going other places and doing everything else. This was pretty cool already, and we're only one day in. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, we got a couple other spots to do, and
yeah,
I mean, the weather today was supposed to be the nicest day.
Yeah,
I mean, right now it's pretty windy.
Yeah,
but it'll calm down in the morning. I think we can get on some in the morning. We've roosted some right here.
Yeah,
we can chase some in the
well, and the big thing is, like, you're checking cameras all the time. You're seeing what's going in and out. Like, you have a good mental note. You're logging stuff. You know what's happening. So you're like, listen, like, and if you can't run cameras or you can't do stuff, you could always scout and do stuff. And it's like, you know, I always say, like, okay, it's just like scouting for, you know, geese or ducks. And it's like, okay, they're in this spot at this time for a reason, right? What's the reason? Okay, they don't use this food plot at night because it's not on the way to the roost or whatever. So then why would I hunt that place, right? So if you're not doing your homework and you, like, man, I hunt this place every afternoon, we don't see anything.
It looks awesome.
Well, sure, it looks killer, right? But guess what?
Should be here.
Yeah, but guess what? If the roost is the other way and they're gonna hit that spot before they go in the afternoon, like, yeah, no kidding. So it all comes down to homework, for sure.
And that's lessons learned too, you know, like.
Oh, you take some beatings for sure.
I had the opportunity to hunting at my place before it was my place, and I took L's every other year out there just because it's like, well, they did this last year, but I wouldn't go out there and take the time to scout,
right?
Like I should, and you know, they had completely changed from the year prior.
Yeah.
Well, I killed one right here last year, and then, you know, I spent 2 days out there and don't see one, and they're gobbling on the other side over there.
They're somewhere for a reason all the time. So what is it? So what do you got to do, right? So there's always something going on.
There's no wasted time when you're scouting.
No.
Yeah, you're always figuring out, like, well, they roosted here when it was cloudy or whatever.
Right.
And they roost here. Like, there's many of times where I'm like, we can hunt somewhere else, and I know where they're going to roost.
Right.
Yeah. Here, because they roost in, it's like four spots within this hillside.
Right.
And after 5 or 6 years now, it's like, okay, if they roost here, they're going to be here by this time, or
Right.
And we can't get within 100 yards of the roost because it's so thick, they always pitch down this way. Well, I don't have permission to hunt that over there.
Right.
So I'd rather hunt a different property in the morning.
Right.
Catch these guys
later.
And that's kind of like the evolution of like his style of hunting and my style of hunting. I think that's why we hunt so well together, is because we just have the same mindset of like how we want to hunt these turkeys. And you know, I give a lot of credit to my dad. He took me to my first turkey hunt, you know, when I was 10, 11, and we were going out there with no decoy, box call,
right,
just like chasing them,
just winging it,
and we just had an awesome experience. I called one in at like 5 yards and I shot it like this with a 20 gauge and it had a triple beard, like the best experience you could have, right? So it really set the tone for me, and I'm
right,
like, but you know, so the next year going,
yeah,
it was like, that's how you get turkeys. And it's like, well, I just got my dick kicked,
yeah,
doing that style.
Yeah.
Again and again and again. It's like, okay, maybe I try this method. Maybe I don't chase them down this way. And then, you know, having the opportunity to hunt these private lands and being able to build a blind on
for sure
and putting your time in scouting,
yep,
just has evolved to knowing when and where they're going to be there.
Yep. It's all time.
What I was telling you, it's like, I can remember when I first got a prop, like permission, and it was someone that we went to church with, and it was like, they have like 10 acres. They're like, there's turkeys here all the time.
Yeah.
You should hunt them. And so you go out there and you see them, and it's like a couple times. And you only have so much real estate.
Right.
So you can't run and, like, you can run and gun, but you're going to run and
gun. You're just going to push them off, right? Right.
So it's like, okay,
that's a huge thing.
We're going to just sit here because at some point these turkeys are going to be moving through here. And it's like, well, you know what? They're always here. I can only hunt in the afternoon, like Kyle was saying. Well, they're always on the neighbors in the afternoon. Well, let me go talk to Mrs. Johnson.
Right.
And you
know, see if you can get over there.
So then you acquire their 6 acres. So now I'm at 12. And I'm like, okay, well, now I have a morning spot and an evening spot.
Yep.
And so that's how it's evolved for me, to where it's like, I can remember when, like, the first big piece of property, which I consider big, was like 150, 160 acres.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to run and gun this place to death. And all I did is I ran them off there, and I'd never killed a turkey there all year. And it was like,
yeah, okay, not the I'm right move.
Way different.
Right. You know?
So I'm not saying that the way that we hunt is, you know, the way that you're supposed to do it, but for us, the most positive,
we found high success in the way that we do it.
High success, yeah. Exactly. Especially with
kids. Well, and this is like what we're talking about is geared toward, you know, working a place, making a place better, no matter if you're leasing it or you got permission on it, and how to put it into a positive for you and your turkey hunting. You know, this has nothing to do with, you know, and listen, if you're a public land hunter, I get it. I've done it. Like, it's run and gun, it's drive logging roads and pull over and freaking call and see if you strike one up. Like, listen, I've done, yeah, bro, listen, I've done it. Like, it's hard, no doubt. Like, we're not, and I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, like, if you have a chance to do this kind of stuff, this is some of the stuff that can work for you, because, you know, I mean, what, you can't do anything like that on public. Like, you can't build a blind. You can't, you know, you might be able to put some cameras up. You know, I don't know if they're going to get taken or whatever, but you can put some up to try to do some stuff and, you know, get as much info as you can. But we're just talking about places that you can have access to and be able to watch, scout, throw cameras, make it better. So, you know, hopefully that helps somebody who's got a place, no matter, like you said, how big it is, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's just the evolution of things too.
Like, yeah.
We all, you know, started the state land thing.
Yeah.
Or public land.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe you run into a hunter and was like, hey, like, I hunt my Uncle Joe's place. And then you make a connection there.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a private place to hunt.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, or you meet a girlfriend and their dad has a place. It's
yeah.
Just,
or their uncle or somebody, right. And then it's like,
Things evolve for you. The more you put time into it, things will evolve.
Yeah, and you just, you know, you guys, just like everybody else in this kind of situation, when you have a place like that and you got, you're always trying to make it better no matter what. You're trying to, like, you know, nobody who has a place like that or has access is trying to just go in there and mow everything down. Like, that's not how it works. Like, if you want to do that, like, you'll hunt it 1 or 2 years, it'll be done, and you'll never have anything else on it again. So, you know, we're always trying to be, you know, stewards of the land and do all that kind of stuff. Like, we're always trying to, like, listen, everybody's like, you know, the Duck Club, like, you guys just, you know, you plant food and they just come in and you just, like, mow them down. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's that easy, right? It's so, like, we feed more birds there. We meet way more than we even remotely friggin' kill. Like, it is so lopsided on their end. And I'm good with that. You know what I mean? I'm good with that. I feed a lot of them. There's still birds down there now because there's water on it and there's a pile of birds eating. They're going to get fat and they're going to fly back to Canada and I'll see them next year. Yeah. So, anything else you want to add? Because that's pretty good info. All this is pretty good. So, if there's anything you want to close with, throw it out, because that's some good stuff, you know. I
would,
think,
say, just like, don't be afraid to
like experiment or what?
Yeah,
try whatever.
I've tried
everything. Well, not everything, but yeah, like, I know,
like,
what you're saying.
Kaylee Oat Plus from Whitetail Institute. I was like, well, I'm just gonna try this, and I did that last year and it came up awesome.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, well, I have a couple buddies who are farmers and I'm like, hey, dude, what grows in this? I'm a turf manager.
Right.
So it's like, I'm pretty savvy when it comes to growing grass.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try barley.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, that came up good. I'm like, okay, I'm going to try winter wheat.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put all three of them together. Like,
just see what's.
And see what comes up the best.
And see what they like, too.
And see what, yes. Yeah,
that's.
What they hammer.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah.
So now I've realized, like, I frost seeded like some clover.
Yeah.
Like, we hunted a clover alfalfa field today, this afternoon.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not that big of a field.
Right.
And it's a transition area. And it's like, they're there in the evening.
They're all about it.
And it's just,
yeah,
what it goes back to is, don't be afraid to try something.
Yeah.
Because what's the worst that can happen?
For sure. Anything you got?
I would just say, you know, listen to your peers, your friends, and other people's experiences. That's really gone a long way for me. You know?
Yeah.
I got buddies that are hunting guides, and, you know, he's told me stories that I've listened to.
Yeah.
I've been in a situation where I'm like, my buddy told me about this exact thing, and it's like, here's what you did, here's what I did, here's how I screwed up, and
here's how to fix it.
Yeah.
Here's how to make it better.
Yeah. And it's just,
yeah,
you know, I got a lot of buddies that are knowledgeable in waterfowl and turkey.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, anything that they can offer to make you better.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. Well,
I'm looking forward to, like, the next day and a half.
Yeah.
Because if it's anything like.
Like the start here, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to crack some skulls, we cracked a few.
Come on out.
That's it. That's the last FA Strut podcast. The last strut. So, yeah, Cody and Kyle from up in Washington, that's the episode. Appreciate you guys checking it out. Hopefully you learned something. That's why we do it. You know, I don't want to hear myself talk all the time. Hopefully I got guys on here that you can learn something from. So appreciate them guys and everything else we got going, especially, like I said, with all our partners with Weatherby and Federal, which was cracking some skulls today for real. And
it didn't start off so hot. But
no, it didn't start off so hot. We don't need to talk about that because we'll go over it all in the episode. No, we ain't cutting it out. We ain't cutting it out. Same with Rogers Sporting Goods, where you get everything, Leupold and Saskoos Company. So that's it. Hit us up on social. Go over to YouTube page and subscribe. We got some cool stuff there. All the podcasts, you get them up where all you can get all the podcasts. So hit us up there. Hit us all the social pages. That's it for today's episode of the FAA podcast. Appreciate you.